Welcome back to the Ominous Library, Archive members. Tonight's story relates to the latest episode on mermaids and sirens. I hope you enjoy. The water glowed an eerie green around the small, circular viewport set into the diver's copper helmet as he stood on a steel platform 100 feet beneath the surface of the Pacific. The lamp mounted above his helmet cast a sickly beam through the water, bathing the seafloor in the color of an old grave. It was a fitting light for such a desolate place. No coral, no schools of fish, only a vast underwater desert where fine silt stretched into blackness. Beyond the 15 feet illuminated by his lamp, the ocean ceased to exist. Chief Brooks, his diving tender, was the last face he saw before disappearing beneath the waves. "Code check," he said. "One pool, I'm all right, or I've reached the bottom. Two pools, give me more hose or more slack. Three pools, take up the slack, I'm coming up. Four pools, or anything after that in a hurry means emergency, haul my ass up immediately." Brooks gave an approving nod. "Good, you've got 4 hours of air, let's make it three. The pub's calling." He limped away as he slapped the top of the brass helmet before the deckhands paid out the diver's umbilical, feeding the heavy hose and lifeline into the sea. Moments later, all that remained above was a trail of bubbles. The first seconds of any dive were always the worst. Thousands of bubbles engulfed him, turning the water into a shimmering wall of silver that reflected every bit of light into his face. Visibility vanished until they finally drifted upward, leaving only silence behind. Most people thought sharks were the greatest danger beneath the sea. They weren't. Orcas were worse. He had once watched a killer whale tear through a weighted diving suit, peeling the armored metal apart as though it were opening a tin of sardines. Sharks hunted because they were hungry. Killer whales sometimes seemed to hunt because they enjoyed it. Still, with Brooks tending his line, he never worried. The old chief had spent nearly 30 years working these waters, and he wasn't the type to retire. And the Navy offered him a desk job, but Mr. McCormick, captain of the salvage vessel, knew that his experience was valuable on deck. So instead, Brooks became the crew's diving tender, guiding every diver who stepped over the side. The diver had spent the last 8 years learning everything the old chief had to teach him. Today's mission was simple enough. A German U-boat had gone down earlier that week, and intelligence believed sensitive materials remained aboard. Code books, cipher equipment, anything the Royal Navy could use to unravel enemy communications. As his heavy weighted boots settled onto the platform, a mushroom cloud of silt bloomed around him before slowly drifting away. He gave the line a single tug. A moment later, one came back. He smiled behind the glass. Everything was as it should be. The hatch wheel protested beneath his gloved hands before finally turning. The heavy steel door groaned open, just wide enough for him to squeeze inside. He signaled for more slack with two sharp tugs, waited until the line loosened, then gathered the extra hose beneath one arm before entering the submarine. He always expects dead bodies. There were none, but the corridors were still cramped, every surface coated in a thin film of slime. German lettering covered signs bolted to the walls, but years aboard Navy submarines had taught him enough about their layouts to navigate by instinct alone. The command room wasn't far. He pushed open the final hatch. Something slammed into his helmet. A pale face struck the glass with enough force to make him stagger backward. He instinctively spun away, kicking up clouds of debris that swallowed the room. His breathing thundered inside the helmet as the bubbles slowly cleared. The corpse drifted lazily before him. He had seen bodies recovered from wrecks before, but never one like this. The flesh had turned a yellow-green color beneath the water, stretched tightly across exposed bone where countless mouths had fed. Empty eye sockets stared through him. Ragged strips of uniform floated around the body like seaweed. He scanned the room. Nothing. No fish, no crabs. Nothing alive remained inside the submarine. He pushed the corpse aside. Behind it sat an open safe. One hinge had given way long ago, leaving the heavy black door hanging crookedly from the frame. Somehow, the contents remained undisturbed. Waterproof satchels, bound books, metal cases, exactly what they had come for. He stuffed everything he could carry into his satchel before turning toward the exit. Movement caught his eye. A tiny glowing fish darted across the corridor, then another. Within seconds, dozens surrounded him. They shimmered in impossible shades of pink, green, blue, yellow, and violet, weaving effortlessly around his helmet. Their bioluminescence washed away the sickly green cast of his lamp until the submarine glowed with shifting color. He froze. These weren't fish. Each creature possessed tiny human-like arms tucked beneath delicate shoulders. Their bodies ended in brilliant translucent tails that rippled through the water with effortless grace. Faces, no larger than his thumb, peered at him through the glass. Large eyes, small noses, thin lips curled into expressions that looked disturbingly human. One landed against his viewport, then another. Within moments, dozens pressed themselves against the thick glass, their tiny hands spread wide across the surface. They stared at him with unmistakable emotion. Hatred. Curiosity. Hunger. He resisted the urge to swat at them. Whatever they weren't afraid. Then pain exploded across his back. He cried out, his voice swallowed by the helmet. His gloved hand reached behind him. Blood. Warm blood drifted through freezing water. His fingers found a perfectly round hole, no larger than a coin. Something moved inside it. A tiny, iridescent tail kicked ferociously as dozens of the little creatures gnawed through the metal surrounding the opening, chewing methodically until another burst of blood clouded the water. He lurched toward the hatch. The creatures scattered around him but never fled. They followed, darting through the corridors like children chasing a toy. He burst from the submarine and immediately gave the line three hard pulls. Nothing. He waited. No answer. His heartbeat quickened. Four rapid pulls. Still nothing. He jerked again with all his strength. Snap. The sudden loss of resistance nearly sent him drifting backward. His umbilical floated down from the darkness above, severed cleanly. Around the end of the hose, dozens of glowing figures danced, circling it in playful celebration before letting it drift slowly toward him. For the first time since entering the submarine, he understood that no one was coming. His hands found the valves on the back of his helmet, and he knew that they had closed automatically when the cord was severed. A strange calm settled over him. Without air, unconsciousness would come long before panic had time to consume him. Better than whatever those creatures intended. His lamp flickered. Darkness slowly crept inward at the edges of his vision. Then the ocean below began to glow. At first, he thought the tiny creatures had gathered beneath him, but the light kept growing. Thousands became tens of thousands, spiraling together in a slow, graceful current that stretched into the abyss. They circled something so immense that it disappeared beyond the reach of his failing lamp. Gradually, a silhouette emerged from the darkness. Its upper body dwarfed the submarine behind him. Flowing hair drifted for what looked like hundreds of feet, while an enormous bioluminescent tail disappeared into the trench below, illuminating the water in impossible colors. The tiny creatures swarmed around it like devoted children returning to their mother. Slowly, impossibly, the colossal figure tilted its head. Its eyes stared, black, snake-like pupils. They were fixed entirely on the diver. The last breath left his helmet, and the lights below continued to rise as the sea quietly claimed another soul.